I'm thankful for Christians at Christmas. We personalize Christ's coming. He came for us. He was born to save us from our sin. And so we thank the Lord for the good reminders and a lot of these hymns. I love how good Christian men rejoice. We have tidings of comfort and joy, good news to share that gives comfort and joy to those who believe and receive it. I encourage you to take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 2 again. We're going to pick up right where we finished off this morning. We ended this morning in verse 20. Between verse 20 and verse 21, the text seems to show that we have 8 days that go by, or seven, eight, on the eighth day. And so according to the law, on the eighth day is the time when a newborn son, a Jewish boy, will be officially added into the covenant family of God. And we see that verse 21, we'll read from verse 21 down through let's just read verse 21, and then we'll have a word of prayer. I don't want to get too far into the passage quite yet. It says, at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Let's stop there, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll start working through and seeing the solace, the comfort that God's light gives as we look at three different groups of people that are presented in this narrative, how God comforts them through his word, through the light that he sends in Jesus. But let's start with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, we thank you again for this time. I thank you for this precious time that we can open your word together to study it, to learn from it, to, Lord willing, we pray, apply it to our hearts and lives so that we will obey your word as you've called us to. I thank you for this sweet passage of scripture that shows us the humility of Christ, again, in coming to earth, taking on human flesh, submitting to the ordinances of the Mosaic law, and yet fulfilling them all of them perfectly because he was without sin. Father, we pray that you will encourage our hearts with your comfort for us and with the joy that your light gives in Jesus. So I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, will be pleasing and acceptable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Christmas, as we understand, can be one of the most encouraging times of year, but it also can be one of the most difficult times of year. It can be difficult for us as we perhaps remember especially loved ones that are no longer with us, or as maybe the time of Christmas can seem extra stressful as we're trying to not get caught up in the materialism of the world, and yet it's hard to do when we see all the busyness and all the rushing and all the different challenges this time of year can bring as our world will celebrate this time of year. But the end of the year for Americans many times, I don't know if you're there, but sometimes it can be stressful, or maybe some folks have a business or work, and it can be a chaotic time as they're trying to finish the year without giving into anxiety or giving into worry and focusing on the joy, the thankfulness, the contentment that is ours as Christians in Christ. But what is the difference when you think about it? What is the difference between those who have comfort in Christ at Christmas and those who have chaos in their lives at Christmas? I think the difference is a relationship with the Lord, this knowing Jesus Christ and finding our ultimate satisfaction in Christ. And when we find ourselves struggling with the chaos of the world, and maybe at times giving in and getting stressed, as Christians, we always can fall back. We always should return back to the truth of Christ, and that our contentment, our comfort, our solace is found in the light of Jesus Christ and that comfort. And that's what I want to just talk about. This word solace is maybe kind of an old term, kind of like maybe splendor. We don't use it as much. But solace, to give someone solace, it means, according to the dictionary term, to give someone solace means to give comfort, to give consolation in a time of distress, a time of sadness. And at this time, for the people of Israel, if we remember, as we think of Caesar Augustus, we think of Rome, we think of the oppression, we also think of how they have been without a word from the Lord for nearly 400 years until the angel appears to Mary and to Zechariah, to Joseph, and to the shepherds. There's been 400 years of silence up to this point. It's been a time of discouragement for God's people. And yet God gives them encouragement through his light. I'd like to look tonight at just three different groups of individuals. We're going to start with Joseph and Mary. And as we come, we see in verse 21 that the 8 days have passed. They are following God's word again, obeying God's word as faithfully as they can. And this is still under the Old Testament era. Christ has not died on the cross yet. And so they're fulfilling the Mosaic law. He is joining the covenant nation of Israel. We see he was circumcised on the 8th day, and he was called Jesus. His name officially is given to him, Jesus. And remember, because he will save his people from their sins. Remember, the angel told Mary, you'll name him Jesus. The angel told Joseph, you will name him Jesus. Just like Zechariah was told, you will name your son a particular name. Jesus is very important. The name Yeshua or Joshua. Jesus, God is salvation. This was the name, it says, given by the angel before he was even conceived in the womb. It was very important they would have this name. But then let's read in verse 22. And we start to see a little bit as we look at how they present Jesus before the Lord in the temple and how they sacrifice, even what they give. We start to see a little bit of getting to know a little more about Joseph and Mary. And we see that they are not rich by any means. They're actually poor by what they offer. Let's start in verse 22, and we'll read down through verse 26. I'm sorry, verse 24. Sorry, 22 to 24. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now, normally you could give a lamb, you could give another, but if you were so poor that you couldn't afford a lamb or you couldn't afford some others, you could give 2 turtle doves, which were very inexpensive. And we see them offering this pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons as a sacrifice, thanking the Lord and also going for the purification of Mary as she purifies herself after birth. And we see that, I think here we can just see a small reminder that God never stopped fulfilling his word to Joseph and Mary. He met their needs. He guided them. He guided them to Bethlehem. He guides them here to Jerusalem to present him before the Lord. We see him them following God's word, trusting God's word, and God provides their needs. And again, following forward with what God has told them to do. But we also see that there is another character that we meet in the story, and his name is Simeon. And we see that before we get there, though, I'd just like to make an observation real quick. An observation about Joseph and Mary. Although they had experienced hardship, and there would be a lot more, they would continue to face great difficulty in treading the path that God had charted for them. They continued believing and obeying God's word all through. Whenever we see Joseph, we don't see much about him after this. In fact, we don't see really anything mentioned about him. We assume that he must have, by the time it focuses on Christ and we hear about Mary later on, he probably may have passed away. We don't even know the age of Joseph and Mary, but he could have been much older than her too, as many times happened. But all that we can see of Joseph is that even when he struggled, when he heard a message from the Lord, he obeyed, even through the hardship. We see Mary, she even remember her words, I'm the servant, bondservant of the Lord, the servant of the Lord. May it be unto me according to your word. Not what I want, but what your word says. We see God being faithful to them. They would face hardship, and even as they go and offer a sacrifice, I'm sure they saw other people there sacrificing lambs or sacrificing other things that were, you know, showed their even their status, their financial ability. But we see here that they humble themselves and they give what they can, and God provides for them. And we see that. Is it crazy sometimes to think that Jesus was there offering sacrifices? Jesus was there involved in the sacrifice when he's the lamb. And yet at the time, he still has not been fully revealed. But they're following what God has said. They're obeying his word. And God blesses that. He never stopped providing for them. He never stopped fulfilling his word to them. And he'll do the same for us. And the call for us is to keep believing his word. Keep obeying it and seeing him bless. But we see that there's another man that comes into the scene. And we see that God never stopped fulfilling his word as well to Simeon. We look at Simeon. Look at verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. So let's just stop there. That's quite a biography. First of all, we see this man, he's in Jerusalem. He's righteous and devout. Now, we understand he's a sinner, but as God looks at him, he's righteous before God. He's devout. He pursues holiness. He pursues righteous living. He pursues, again, following what God's word calls him to do. And notice he was waiting specifically for this phrase, the consolation or the comforter, the comfort of Israel. What was Israel's hope? What was their comfort in? Well, it wasn't in Rome, and it couldn't even be in their own king, King Herod, because he was just a puppet king. And no, their ultimate consolation was in the promised Messiah. And he was looking, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And notice the Holy Spirit was upon him. That is significant. Remember, this is Old Testament, so the Holy Spirit was just not upon everybody. The Holy Spirit would come upon people in special ways in the Old Testament, but it didn't indwell people like it does, didn't indwell Christians like it does today. But the Holy Spirit's upon him, and notice, the verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't die. He would not see death before or until he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah. What a promise. You're not going to die in your day. The Messiah will come. Now it could be, and I often wonder, did Simeon share this with anybody? He may have, and people probably didn't believe him. Are you kidding? Man, that would be great, wouldn't it? We've been waiting for this Messiah for so long. It doesn't seem like there's a great following with Simeon, but it had been revealed to him that he would see the Messiah. And so we see that this day, verse 27, it says he came in the Spirit. That's meaning the Spirit was leading him. The Spirit was guiding him. Go to the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms. I just want to stop there a minute. Can you imagine if you're going somewhere and you don't really know anybody, and all of a sudden this old man comes up and just picks your baby up? You'd be like, oh, hold on. What's going on? But there must have been something here that was special about Simeon, something in awe. And notice as he picks up Christ, I can't imagine the weight. You're holding the Son of God in your arms. He picks him up and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And we'll stop there. I mean, the conversation goes on with them, but what a statement. This is very similar to Zechariah's statement. A light that will shine on those in darkness and those in the shadow of death. A light has come to guide us in the way of peace. You see those elements here as well? We see that he says, Lord, you're letting your servant depart in peace, verse 29, according to your word. Mine eyes have seen your salvation prepared in the presence of all the nations, all the people groups. And here's the light again, a light to reveal, a light to reveal truth to the Gentiles. This is big for a Jewish person even to be saying this. Christ has come. He's not just the Messiah of Israel. He's the Messiah of all people who will believe in him. And a light to show your glory to your people, Israel. And notice verse 33, and his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. Again, God's been working on me because I used to look at these verses and I really used to think, man, of course they knew who he was. I don't think so much that's what's going on here. They knew who he was. I think this is more, here's someone else. We don't even know this guy. And all of a sudden, he's rejoicing in who this child is. They marvel at what was said about Christ. But Simeon goes on. Look at verse 34. Simeon blessed them. He blesses the parents. And he said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. I'm going to skip for a second the next phrase. It's for a sign that is opposed so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Jesus, as the light, is going to expose the darkness. He's going to expose the need that the Jews have to stop trusting in their Jewishness and to trust in him alone. To stop trusting in their, we're the people of God by blood, and say, you need to be saved through the blood of Christ only. And it would cause many people to fall away. It would also rise many people. Many people would rise to eternal life through faith in Christ. But there would be a falling away as well of many in Israel. He would be opposed. The greatest sign of opposition that has ever been seen is Christ dying on the cross, opposing the word of God. But notice, and I skip this phrase just because it's kind of parenthetic, but look at verse 35, speaking specifically to Mary, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Mary was going to face great pain. She would see Jesus die on the cross. She would be there as he breathed his last. And right before he breathed his last, remember what he said? He turned to the Apostle John and he said, John, Mary, see your son. You are going to be a son to her. And he's going to take care of you. And it says from that moment, John took her under his care. Mary knew much of what would happen, but I think there was a significant amount that she didn't know. It wasn't quite revealed to her. She did not know how her son would die. I know there's that song, Mary, Did You Know? You know, and I used to mock that song a lot. I've come to kind of enjoy it more because it talks about the things that Christ did. There's a lot of things she didn't know, but she did know that God's word was true. She didn't know that her son would walk on water. She didn't know all the details, but I believe that she did know that he would be the one to bring salvation. She rejoiced in God, her Savior. But there would be pain. She would see her son reviled. She herself would be reviled. There's a time when the Pharisees come to Jesus and they're opposing him. And they get so frustrated with Jesus, they finally say, well, we're not children of immorality like you are. There was still a mark on Mary all those years. People just didn't believe that she could have been righteous in Jesus' birth. There was a lot of things that she was called to bear, but I think the hardest one would be to see her son rejected, opposed. I think of moms today when, you know, and you think of the mama bear that comes out when they see their children, someone be mean to them. There were many times that Mary would have to just sit back and do nothing. And she wasn't with Jesus much. Once he got his ministry, he was off on his own. And there were times, remember when Mary would try to go see him? And Mary would go, and there's times even Jesus would say some things that at front value could sound a little rude. You know, he says, well, who, you know, they say, hey, your mom, your mother, and your brothers are outside. They want to talk to you. And Jesus is like, who's my mother? Who's my brothers? Whoever believes in me through my word and obeys, that's my mother and my brothers. I'm sure there were times Mary herself was a little, what is he saying? Why is he saying it that way? But I think the greatest pain would be when he was murdered in front of her. And yet, through that, you see that God in his... You say, well, how is this comforting? Well, you know, one of the greatest things, the way God comforts us, is he tells us the truth. He doesn't hide anything from us. You know, for us today as Christians, he says, if you're going to follow my son, trials will come, difficulties will come, but I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be right there with you. And you, I will get the glory if you'll follow me. Simeon here gives her some hard news. And yet, as we think coming back just to Simeon, we see that God never stopped fulfilling his word as well to Simeon. Here, God continues to give revelation to Mary and to Joseph to encourage them, to comfort them, and to prepare them for what will be coming one day, though he doesn't give all the details here. As I think of Simeon, just really quickly, I think an observation we can make of Simeon is although Simeon had to wait a while, he had to wait quite a while to see God's promise to him to be fully fulfilled, that he would see the Messiah. He still patiently trusted and obeyed God's word. Again, we see this. Mary and Joseph, they don't have all the answers, but they just keep following God's word. Simeon doesn't have all the answers, but he's patiently waiting. And did you see in verse 21, I love those words, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. It's almost like he's saying, God, thank you. I'm ready to come home now. I'm ready to go. I've seen your salvation. I've seen your Messiah. We don't know how old he was, but he does seem he was probably an older man. And thank the Lord for God never stopping to fulfill his word to Simeon. And then lastly, we see a lady named Anna. In verse 36, we see that there's a lady named Anna. There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. I told Asher to be on the lookout for that. Asher's in here. Of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him, speak of Jesus, to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. We see that there's this lady, Anna, and she's a prophetess. And we see this at different times. You remember Deborah as well in the Old Testament. From time to time, you'll see ladies that were used by God to share his message in this Old Testament dispensation. And we see that Anna is there, and she's of the tribe of Asher. So she's an Israelite, and she is serving the Lord, telling people about the Word of God. It says she was advanced in years, and we see that she had had her own challenges. She had had her own heartache and sorrow that she had gone through. We see at the end of verse 36 that she was advanced in years. She had lived with her husband 7 years, and then she was a widow until she was 84. And so there is some wondering here, has she been a widow for 84 years? She was married for 7 years, and then is she 91 now? Or potentially, maybe she was 84 years in all. And see that. Either way, she's been a widow for a long time. And she's lived for a very long time. And she has lived alone for a long time. But she hasn't really been totally alone, because God has been with her. She has been faithfully, again, serving the Lord. And notice, she hasn't departed from the temple. She's been there in Jerusalem, worshiping and fasting and praying, focusing on the glory of God. And she did this night and day. It almost sounds like what we hear of Daniel. He was committed 3 times a day praying and focusing on God throughout the day. This lady has been doing that. She's been faithful. And notice in verse 38, at that very hour, you know, it's not a coincidence. God had a perfect plan, a perfect timing. At that very hour, she comes and she sees Jesus. She sees Simeon, and she's speaking to people. She gives thanks to God, and she speaks to him, or speaks of him, to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel, or the consolation of Israel. Those who are waiting for the Messiah, she comes and says, he's here. He's here. Now, we don't see a following after Jesus here. Probably many people ignored her, or they just didn't understand, or it wasn't time. They may wonder, where is he? Where is he? And they may have already departed. It wasn't time for him to be revealed yet as the Lamb of God. But even in these early days, we see that God is fulfilling his word. He's fulfilling his word to Joseph and Mary, to Simeon, and to Anna. One observation about Anna, I would just, as we can see from this passage, is that although Anna had experienced great sorrow and loneliness, she did not stop serving the Lord. She kept believing and obeying his word. You see a constant theme here. Do we see the theme? People who don't have it all figured out, but they know enough that they're going to obey God. Joseph and Mary, they're doing what God has called them with an overwhelming responsibility. I mean, can you imagine? I almost feel like I might be a nervous wreck. Oh, is he safe? Is he safe? Is he safe? I don't know why I think that way, but it's just, you know, no one take him. We got to take care. This is the Messiah, God's son. What a responsibility. And yet, God provided for them, provided their needs, provided what they needed so they could continue following his word. As we think of Simeon, did the same. God did the same for Simeon, faithfully serving God, being there and letting the Spirit work in his life, being righteous, being devout, following God, and God blesses him. We see Anna the same, going through difficult times. So it would just encourage us with this as we prepare to close tonight. God always bestows his blessing of comfort to those who believe and obey his word. If you think of these individual people today, Joseph, Mary, Simeon, Anna, God called each one of them to obey his word in a different arena, different circumstances, different challenges to go through. And yet all of them did that with the same core faith. The same core faith. They were trusting in the word of God. They were focusing on the glory of God. They had a faith that persevered in trusting and obeying God's word, living by faith, not by sight. Living by faith that God would bless his word to them. Believing that God would provide for their needs. Believing that God would provide the strength and comfort they needed. You think of Anna. And that day, if you were a widow and you weren't able to remarry, it could be a very hard road, especially at that age. She may have, you know, we don't know if she had children or not, but it could have been very difficult. But God provided for their needs. They believed that God would provide the strength, the comfort they needed. They believed God would never leave them nor forsake them, and he didn't. He fulfilled his word to them. So as we close a day that was really focused on the word of God, I know this morning we focused that God's word always proves true. And tonight even, God blesses those with comfort who believe and obey his word. I would just say, may we believe, and I put parentheses obey, Because really, again, to believe God's word is to obey his word. Remember what Christ said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If we really believe God's word, then we'll obey it by God's grace. And with his help, we'll obey his word. Let maybe believe and obey God's word and believe that he will always provide for his children. I'm always amazed at the end of a year how God shows himself so faithful. You know, maybe there's times throughout the year or, you know, maybe at the end of the year, you wonder, how's God going to work? How's he going to provide or whatever it might be? How's he going to provide the wisdom here? How's he going to provide, you know, whatever our family may need? And he always does. It's not that we continue doubting, but our faith grows. Your faith gets stronger. And when the next opportunity comes to trust God, hopefully we're still trusting and we're still obeying because he always provides our needs. He always does. And most of all, he provides our spiritual needs. We need to believe and obey his word. He will give the comfort that comes in believing and obeying his word. He always provides for his children. I would say, secondly, he will always comfort his children. God is not a bad heavenly father. He's a good heavenly father. He gives us the comfort we need. He never leaves. He never ignores. He never forsakes. His word is always relevant to the needs that we have. May we believe and obey God's word, believe that he will always comfort his children. Christ is praying for us. The Holy Spirit is interceding for us. Jesus said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He gives us the comfort that we need. And then third, I would just say, as we endeavor to believe and obey God's word, maybe realize that he will never fail his children. God will never fail his children. He didn't fail Anna. He didn't fail Simeon. He didn't fail Mary or Joseph. And they went through a lot of difficulties, but he never failed them. His word never failed, and he's never going to fail us as well. So may God help us as we prepare to begin a new week of ministry. And some of us may be traveling. We'll be praying for you as you travel and as we're on the roads and as we're maybe some of us just staying in here for the Christmas season or the Christmas holiday day. May we encourage others with the comfort that God has been showing us. May we keep trusting his word. I don't know what 2022 holds. Maybe 2022 won't come. Maybe Christ will return before then. That would be even better. But as God allows us to keep living for him, may we believe his word, and may that be seen in how we obey, trusting him to provide, trusting for him to comfort, trusting him to glorify himself and to show himself good. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that gives us details that sometimes we may wonder, how is that relevant? And yet we study it and we see the truth that you have for us there. We thank you for the comfort, for the solace that you give us in Christ. We thank you that though the world around us continues to grow further and further in opposition to you, Father, I thank you that we can trust you and obey you. Help us, Lord, when we struggle. Help us when we struggle with doubt. Help us when we struggle with anxiety. We may struggle with fear. Help us, Lord, to turn our eyes upon Jesus, to look full in his wonderful face. May the things of this earth grow dim in the light of his glory and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.